Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah that's towards the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Kaimitz Mi'utai Me'akev Eserubai. The shir of the Kaimitz, as we discussed in the previous shir, is two kezaisim, and teaches us the Mishnah that if you don't have the full amount of two kezayis, then the halacha is that it's not a valid kaimitz. Moreover, explained Rishonim, what the Mishnah means to come to teach us, is that even if the entire existence of you have the entire kaimitz, but the halacha is that you didn't burn all of the kaimitz, then the halacha is that it's a invalid kmitza. Another pshat that I saw is that, as we discussed previously in our shiurim, when the Gemara describes how a kaimitz is performed, what we're learning here is that in the performance of a kaimitz properly, what is required is that you have the proper way of doing the kaimitz, that you fill up the entire palm of your hand, and moreover, we also described that let's say there's a pebble or some salt that gets mixed into your kaimitz, that also would be a reason that the kaimitz is disqualified. Isarin, as we've discussed, the halacha is that we make a karban mincha, we have to bring an isarin, a flour, miuta makas rubai, that again, you have to bring the entire isarin. And if you didn't, it's not a valid isarin. So, of course, the question that is, if the Mishnah is teaching us the halacha that hakaimitz miuta makav serubai and isarin miuta makav serubai, so the question we need to understand is why were these two halachas not combined into one halacha? So the simple pshat is that these two halachas are not mentioned in the same, based on the same pasuk. And since these two halachas are not based on the same pasuk, that's why we had to mention each one separately. Another question that's asked is, why is the kaimitz mentioned before the isarin? Don't we first bring the isarin and only afterwards bring the kaimitz? So one answer that I saw is, since the mishnayos that we've been learning have been primarily focused on the kaimitz, so even though the isarin comes before the kaimitz, we speak about the kaimitz first, because that's something that we've been discussing so extensively. Another reason, because as we're about to learn, the Mishnah is going to now teach us the halacha of the yayin and shemen, and the halacha is that the kaimitz does not apply by michas nesachim, which have yayin and shemen and flour, so that's why the kaimitz is sort of separate, because as we've learned so many times, the kaimitz does not apply by all karban minchas. These other halachas that we're studying in our Mishnah do apply by all karban minchas. And since they apply by all karban minchas, first the Mishnah wants to discuss what applies by all karban minchas, and then the Mishnah goes on to discuss First, the Mishnah speaks about kaimitz that doesn't apply by all karban minchas, and then the Mishnah goes on to discuss what applies by all karban minchas. Furthermore, hayayin, the amount of wine that is brought with the nesachim, chatzehin lepar, shlishesehin laayin, reviyasehin lekevesh, miuta makav serubai. Here too, the halacha is that you have to bring all of them. Why did the Tana first teach the halacha of yayin and afterwards the halacha of shemen? It seems that the shemen and isarin are much more connected, because in every karban mincha, besides the mechas chayta, we have the shemen and the isarin. So shouldn't we have mentioned them afterwards? So furthermore, if we look in the parasha Nesachim, the Torah speaks about the yayin, of the shemen before the yayin. So the Mefarshim suggest, since the halacha of yayin and isarin are the same, that if you put in a little too much wine, or you put in too much isarin, the halacha is that it's pasul. But when you speak about the shemen, the Rambam says that only if you put in a significant amount, an extra leg of shemen, would you have a problem. A little amount of wine, a little amount of oil would not be problematic. So therefore, since the yayin and the sorin are so similar, that's why they were put together. Another halacha is, because when the Torah speaks about the zayim minim, that are the fruits that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with, yayin comes before zayis. So since their yayin comes before zayis, and our Mishnah as well, yayin is mentioned before zayis. Hashemen, again, when we bring the shemen that we have to bring, as we've discussed many times, by a standard carbon mincha, the halacha is that we have to bring a roig shemen. Here too, miutoi makavis rubai, you have to bring the entire amount that the Torah prescribes that has to be brought. Hasoilus vashemen, the halacha is that a carbon mincha has to have soilus, the flour and the shemen. The halacha is makavis azah, and if you don't have both of them, then the halacha is that the carbon is possible. Hakai mitzvah avoyna. Similarly, every carbon mincha, every standard carbon mincha, has to have a kaimitz and the levina. Here too, the halacha is that you have to have them. It's interesting to point out that the Mishnah speaks about the levina. But when the Mishnah speaks about the Levina, the Mishnah does not mention Utoi Ma'akvis Rubai. Why does the Mishnah teach us that halacha regarding the Levina? So explain the Achrayinim, because as we've learned previously, there is no specific shear how much Levina you have to have. And since by the Levina, there is no required amount that you have to have, that's why the Mishnah doesn't teach us the halacha of Halevina. That halacha doesn't apply. Begins the Gemara. The Mishnah teaches us that if you don't have the full amount, if you don't have the whole kaimitz, then it's possible. Ask the Gemara, my tama, why is the reason for that halacha? Answers the Gemara, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Mloy Kumtza Trey Zimni. The Pasuk says, the words Malay Kumtza twice, once by the Michas Nadamba, where the Torah says the words Vakamats Misham Malay Kumtza, and then by the Michas Torah Gedosha says Vakamats Hashem, Vakamats Hakayim Mimena Malay Kumtza. So since the Torah uses the word Malay Kumtza twice, then the halacha is that's why you have to, if you don't have the required amount, it's not kosher. Isarin. We learned further in the Mishnah that when we speak about the sarin, the halacha is that miuta makav srubay. You have to have the whole sarin. Here too, ask the Gemara my tama. Where do we know this halacha from? Answers the Gemara amakra because the pasuk says misalta. The Torah could have said just the word misoiles. Why did the Torah use the word misalta to teach us? If you don't have the entire required amount, then it's psula. We learned further that the yayin, that the wine that's brought for the sachim, you have to bring the amount the Torah tells us to bring. How do we know that halacha? Because the pasuk says by the parshim the sachim, kocha yasa v'shara echad. The word kocha indicates that this is the way it has to be. Hashemen, we learned that the shemen that's put into the mincha, miyuta makav srubay, you have to have the exact amount. When we speak about, says the Gemara, the shemen that's brought in the michas nesachim, the way we know it, is just as we learned. Because the pasuk says, kach yos l'shar echad, b'michas nadova. How do we know by michas nadova we have to bring exactly the prescribed amount of oil? Amakra, misalta umishamna, to teach us, shemchasa koshu, if you didn't bring all of the shemen, if you didn't bring all of the shemen, then you're not psula, it's possible. There's a very famous question that the Taz poses. on Rosh Hashanah, when we say Malchus in the Tefillah, we say the words Meloich Al Kol Olam Kulay. And the Taz asks, isn't that a redundancy? If we know, so why do we have to say Meloich Al Kol Olam Kulay? So the Taz says, because since the Halacha teaches us that Rubik Akula, that a majority is equal as if, so we would say Meloich Al Kol Olam, we would perhaps be indicating that we're only asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rule on most of the world. That's why we go out of our way to say Meloich Al Kol Olam Kulay, by indicating Meloich Al Kol Olam Kulay, where we're saying that we don't want to rely on Rav. And that's the same over here. The Torah says the words Meloi Kumtza twice. What is the Torah trying to teach us by saying the word Meloi Kumtza twice? That Rav is inadequate. We have to have the entire kaimitz. We learned further in the Mishnah, Hashemin v'asoylus makvim zeh, that the halacha is that you have to have both the semen and the, if you don't have both, it's not the semen and the soilus, it's not a valid carbon mincha. Ask the Gemara, misalta mishamna, the Torah says misalta mishamna, and then the Torah says again, migerso mishamna, the Torah is saying this halacha twice. What is the Torah trying to accomplish by saying this halacha twice? That they have to, they both have to be there, and if they're both not, if they're not there, then it's not a valid carbon mincha. We learned further, HaKaymetz Levoinah Ma'akmus Azeh, you have to have both the Kaymetz and the Levoinah. How do we know this halacha? Because the Pasuk says, HaKaymetz Hashem Eloi Kumtza Al Kol Levanasa. And then the Torah says again, Ves Kol HaLevoinah Hashem Amincha. From here we learn that you have to have the both the Kaymetz and the Levoinah are both absolutely essential. Continues the Mishnah to say, Sirei Yom Kippurim. We know on Yom Kippur, they brought two Sirim. One was Lashem, and one was Lazazel. So teaches us the Mishnah that those Shnei Sirei Yom Kippurim, Makvin Zeh are both necessary. You can't bring one without the other. So Rosh Hash asked the question, why is this halacha of Yom Kippur singled out? Don't we know that all the halachas, all the avodas Yom Kippurim are absolutely essential? So says the Rosh Hash, since the halacha of the Sol HaZozel is different than everything else that's done in Yom Kippur, whereas everything else that's done in Yom Kippur is done in the Beis HaMikdash, but the Sol HaZozel is done outside, so we would think that the halacha of everything has to be done on Yom Kippur is not applicable to something that's done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Mishnah teaches us this halacha, that this two Shira Makvim Zeh. We've discussed many times that on Sukkot they brought two Kivsei Atzeres. The halacha is that Shnei Kivsei Atzeres Makvin Zeh. Says the Brisker Rav that we are not to understand that the Mishnah says that you could only shecht the two Kivsei Atzeres if you have both of them. Because of course you could shecht one without the other. But what the Mishnah comes to teach us, that the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres Makvim Zeh, it's not considered that you fulfill the mitzvah unless you bring both Kivsei Atzeres. Shnei Kivsei Atzeres Makvim Zeh. As we continue discussing Shavuos, so in Shavuos we know that they brought two Chalas with the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres. So teaches us the Mishnah that the Shnei Chalas that are brought on Yom Kippur, Makvis Zoazu. And the Mefarshim explained, why was the Mishnah said in this order? Because it's very specific the way the Mishnah puts it in this order. Because first we brought the Kivsei Atzeres, and through the bringing of the Kivsei Atzeres, that's how the Chalas obtained Kedusha. Shnei Sedarim, we know that the Shulchan had two rows of bread, and teaches us the Mishnah that the Shnei Sedarim, Makviz, you have to have both rows to be considered that the shulchan is properly filled. Shnei bezichin, we often speak in our masechta that there were two spoons of levaina that were put on top of the shulchan that were burnt on Shabbos as they switched the bread. So it teaches us the Mishnah that shnei bezichin the shnei bezichin, the two spoons of avoina, makvin zeh zeh. Hasadorim v'abezichin makvin zeh zeh. As we just discussed, the shulchan had the bezichin levoina on the top. The shulchan had the rolls of bread, and teaches us the Mishnah that both they're all makvin to each other. Hasadorim v'abezichin makvin zeh zeh. Shnei minim shebenazir. The nazir brought two types of chalas. Chalas matzah, verkike matzahs. Shloisha shevapara. The part when bringing the avoided paraduma, you had to bring eitz erev ve'ezo v'shni tolas, that are all thrown into the fire in which we're burning the paraduma. Abba shebetoida. We know that when somebody brings a karmatoida, he has to bring 40 loaves, 4 times 10. Chalas matzahs, rikike matzahs, soilus murvekas, and chalas lechem chametz. Arba shebelulav. When we do the dalad minim, as we'll discuss in the shir mitzvah shem, the aloch is that those we have to have all dalad minim. The arba shemitzayra, the four types, the four things that are brought along with the mitzayra, the eitz erez, the ezov, the shnit talas, and the tziporim, all of them are ma'akvim ze ze. They all are ma'akv each other. That you have to bring them all together. That you have to bring them all, and if you don't bring them all, that's not considered you brought properly. We spoke about the avoid of the paraduma, and the halach is when the avoid of the paraduma is done, the kohen spritzes the blood and mayim chayim mixture towards standing on harazesim, spritzing them towards the opening of the Beis Hamikdash d'Ohel Moed. Makvazuzu, you have to do all seven. The Sheva Azoyes, Shalben Abadim, when the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah Yom Kippurim, that he has to spritz 7 times, Vashal Aproiches, and then he spritzes 7 times, one in the basic, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he spritzes 7 times facing the Proiches, Vashal Mizbech Azov, he does 7 times on the Mizbech Azov, all of them, Akvazuzu, are all necessary. So the Roshash asks a question. Why doesn't the Tana, we know as we daven on Yom Kippur, we say the Avoida, the way it's said is Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata. So we know that there's a total of 8. So why isn't that 8th one not mentioned? Moreover, we also have discussed that on Yom Kippur, the dam is put on the 4 corners of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So why isn't that mentioned why isn't that mentioned in the Mishnah as well? So the Brisker Rav explains that the difference between the 4 that are on the Mizbeach or the 1 that's on top is different. When we speak about the 7 that are put, that are spritzed, that we just mentioned in the Mishnah, the halacha is that each one, you have to do all 7. If you didn't do all 7, it's as if you didn't do anything. When you do the 4 on the 4 corners, each corner is a separate spritzing. And as soon as you did one, you fulfilled what you have to do with that one. And the other ones are separate. And the same thing when we speak about the Achas Lamala versus the Sheva Lamata. When we speak about the Achas Lamala versus the Sheva Lamata, what the Halacha is telling us is that you do the Achas. And of course, the halacha requires that you do that achas. But that achas that you do is on its own. You do it, and you don't do it, you don't do it. It doesn't have any effect on the kashrus of the other spritzing. We learned in the Mishnah, Shnei Siri Yom Kippur, Makom Zeh. Says the Gemara, how do we notice halacha? So says the Gemara, because when it speaks about the Avodah Yom Kippur, the Torah uses the word chukah. So because the Torah used the word chukah, means everything that it's stated is essential. Shnei kivsei atzeres, makna zezeh, because the pasuk says, shnei kivasim kodesh yu l'Hashem, the word yu, havaya, means it's essential. The shnei chalas, from shvus, again, the Torah uses the word havaya. The pasuk says, tovil lechem tanufa shtayim shnei esroinim, soilus tayenam. The shnei sdorim, the two rows of the lechem upon him, because the Torah says, "V'haysel v'aron ulevanov choyk oilam." The shnei bezichim that we spoke about, the two spoons of levana that are on top of the shulchan, because the Torah uses the word chukah. And again, since the Torah uses the word chukah, it's absolutely essential. Hasadarm v'bezichim, that you have to have the bread and the spoons. How do we know that they're all ma'akib? Because the Torah, when it speaks about the avoid of the lechem upon him, uses the word chukah. Shnei minim shebenazer, the chalas matzis and the rekike matzis that are brought by the nazar. The ksiv, the pasuk says, k'zois taras nazar shiyida ken ya'asa al taras nizrait. Ken ya'asa means it's absolutely essential. Shlosh shebeparo, the three things that come along with the paraduma, dates erevs, days of in the shnei talas, because the Torah uses the word chukah, zois chukah satayra, indicating that it's essential. Arba shebetayda, the 4 times 10 different types of loaves that are brought with a carbon taida, says the Gemara, the iskish l'nazir. The halacha of the chalas of taida are connected to the halachas of the shalmi nazir. The ksiv, the pasuk says, al chalas lechem chametz yakav kabona azevak taira shlamam, v'amamar shlamav l'rabbi shalmi nazir. That the shalmi nazir are the same as the lachmi toida. Arba shemetzayra dates erev the days of the shnei talas and the tzparim, because the Torah says zois tia taras shemetzayra. From here we learn that it's absolutely the taras shemetzayra, that it's absolutely essential. Arba shebelulav, when we speak about arba shebelulav, the 4 different meaning of the lulav are all essential to each other. Why? Arba shebelulav, because the Torah says v'lakach lechem b'yom rishon priyetz hadar, and we learn from the word v'lakachtem that you have to have a lakicha tama. You have to have all four, and if you don't have all four, you're not yotze. So the Rashi explains the way we get to this limud is the Torah says v'lakachtem, and we learn from here v'lakachta tam. You have to take them all. The Torah Tamima says another way we could get to this lesson is because the Torah says v'lakachtem lachem, and the Torah doesn't say v'tichu lachem. If the Torah would have said tichu lachem, so that would be an indication that you don't have to do all of them. But the fact that the Torah says v'lakacht lachem means that you have to do all of them. And says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bar Avchana Loi Shanu, this halacha that you have to have all dalaminim, El She'en Loi, that the halacha is that you have to have all dalaminim. And if you don't, you're not yoitza the mitzvah. Avol Yesh Loi, if you have all dalaminim, Eim Akvim. So here, this two pshatim had to understand this Gemara. Many Rishonim says that what it means is that you don't have to take them all together. And if you took them separately, then it's acceptable. Other Rishonim say that the pshat is that the halacha is that if you take the dalaminim, but you don't take them all at the same time, you take one after another, you will be yotze. But what does that mean? So the Rain of Tam explains, what the Gemara means to say is you take each one individually, the Rain of Tam says that Gemara means you don't have to bind them together, you have to take them all together. However, the Behag's opinion is, as long as all dalaminim are in front of you, but you take each one separately, it's fine. The Ramban is even more lenient. And the Ramban is of the opinion that as long as he takes all four at different times of the day, the halacha is that he's yotze. But the Ramah paskins that you can't make a bracha unless you have all of them in front of you. Because if you don't have in front of them, then it's not, nobody will allow you to make the bracha, even if the halacha is you don't have to take all four at the same time. The Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody has all four in front of him, and given that even that every that the Bahak says that if you have all four in front of you, you can make the bracha, but says the Shulchan Aruch, let's say that was what you did. You had all four in front of you, you picked one up, and after you picked one up, you spoke something else, it's considered an interruption, and you would have to make the bracha again. The bracha that you made at the beginning is not acceptable. The Achronim discuss, here we're learning, certainly according to the Bahag, and certainly according to the Ramban, you could take all four, one after the other. But what does that mean, you have to take all four after the, you could take all four, one after another? We know when we speak about the Aravis, we take two Aravis. When we speak about the Hadassim, we take three Hadassim. So how are we to understand what the Gemara means to say here? Are we to understand that at least the two Aravis have to be taken together? Or is the Halacha that not only could one be taken after the other, or the halacha will be you could take one arava and then the other arava. You could take one hadas and then after the other hadas. Our Gemara is teaching us that you have to take a lakicha tama. It means you have to have all four. So when we speak about the halachas of the Dalaminim, one of the most well-known halachas is that the halacha is that on the first day of Sukkot, an esrog achaser is possible. If the esrog is not perfect, complete, you can't use such an esrog. But that is not the halacha on the other days of Yontif. Second day Yontif of Chutz Laretz is a separate discussion. What is the halacha regarding here that we're learning that you have to have lakicha tama, that you have to take all four on the to be yotze? So Tosfos says that this is halacha. Tosfos over here quotes that those that say that this halacha only applies on the first day. But on the other days of Yontif, if you don't have all Dalaminim, take what you have. Ben Tosfos then quotes his own opinion, where Tosfos says that whereas we learned now that the halacha is if you don't take all four on the first day, you're not yoytza, but esrog achaser, you're yoytza on the other days, so too by all four minim, that you have to have all four minim as a halacha that applies to all the days of Yontif. And if you don't have all four minim, you're not yoytza. Says the Gemara further, Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Ava minim shebelulav, when we think about the Dalam minim, Shnaimem oisim peris, the lulav is a tree, grows on the palm tree, that is a tree that gives fruit. The shnayim ena superis that das and rova don't give pears. What do we learn from here? Hois and pears is a kukin leish enois and pears. Those minim that produce fruit need to rely on those that don't produce fruit. The shein ois and pears and the ones that don't produce fruit are zukukin leish pears. Then adam yaitze dei chavasam. And here it says further, you're not yaitze the chiyav of dalaminim. Achiu kulam bagodachs until they're all together. Furthermore, says the Mavakan Ken Yisrael Baratzah, when Klai Yisrael are fasting, they're not answered min Hashemayim. Achiu kulam bagodachs until we're all in one group. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Haboyne b'Hashemayim maloisov v'agudosai el eretz yisoda. That we learn from here that we have to be all connected. So how are we saying that the agudachas is not ma'akev? Answers the Gemara Tanaihi. It's actually machloikus Tanaim. Tanoim the Tanya lulav vein ogud v'shein ogud kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says ogud kosher only when it's tied together. Obviously not the esrig. The esrig is not tied together. However, says the Gra, that the halacha is that even though we don't physically tie the esrig together with the other dalaminim, the halacha is that when we're holding the dalaminim, we have to hold the esrig next to the lulav. And there's a famous story that there was somebody during Sukkot who had a dream, and he saw in his dream that he's writing the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but he's not keeping the letters of the Yud Kei Vav Kei together. He didn't understand what's going on. Of course, he would never write the Shem Hashem in a way separating the Yud from the Hei Vav Hei. Until somebody pointed out to him, he doesn't keep the Esrig next to the other Minim. And if you don't keep the Esrig next to the other Minim, it's as if you separated the letter of Yud when you're writing the Shem Hashem. And in fact, the Chasam Sofer points out that there are people who deliberately keep the Esrig somewhat distant from the Lulav, because when the Lulav comes to next to the Esrig, especially if it's an Esrig that has a lot of moisture in it, that Esrig might get ruined from the Lulav rubbing next to it. So isn't that something that maybe one should consider doing? Says the Chasam Sofer, the Esrig that gets ruined because you put the Lulav next to it, don't view that Esrig as a ruined Esrig. View that Esrig as a beautiful Esrig. Says the Gemara, my time to be Huda. Why does the Huda hold that a Lulav that's not next to the Esrig is not a good Esrig? Says the Gemara, Goma Kichim a good Esrig. He learns the Halacha from what the Torah says by the Agudas Esav. Malahalon, when we speak about the Esav, it has to be one group. Afkan, the Lulav has to be together with the Dalaminim. Rabbanon don't have this Gzeirah Shava of Kicha Kicha, and therefore they don't require that they should be all together. Ask the Gemara, Kaman Azla Hadutanya, whose opinion that says in the Braisa, it says Lulav Mitzvah Agdai, there's a mitzvah to tie the Lulav together from Lai Agda Kosher, but if you didn't do so, it's Kosher Kaman. Ask the Gemara, whose opinion does this represent? Ikra Behuda, if we're following the opinion of Behuda, so Behuda says that tying it together is absolutely necessary. So we have a question, Lai Agda, if you didn't tie it together, my Kosher. V Rabbanon, if we're following the opinion of the Rabbanon say, what does it mean when it said here mitzvah? Answers the Gemara Olam, this price is following the opinion of the Rabbanon. Or what is it meant when it said mitzvah? Because the mitzvah is Zakeli Vanveyu, it's nice to have the Dalaminim tied together. And since it's nice to have them tied together, that's why even the Rabbanon will agree that it should be tied together. There is a discussion how they should be tied together. The Shulchan Aruch says that when we're saying that it's a mitzvah l'agdai, it should be tied with a proper knot, with a kesher, al-gabba kesher. And even though the minig is to tie it together with lulav leaves, that is still considered that it's tied properly. Of course, the Shulchan Aruch says that on Yontif, there's a problem of making that kind of an eged, that type of a knot. So if one did not tie together his lulav that way before Yontif, he should do so he should not tie it with a kesha or kesha on Yontif. The Avni Nezer explains that when we say that there's a hidden mitzvah, as the Gemara just said, and tying them together, that it's not how you tie them that makes it beautiful. The fact that they are together is something that's beautiful. There's a machloikus rishonim. Here we're saying that tying them together is a hidden mitzvah. There's machloikus rishonim if hidden mitzvah is a deraisa or derabbanan. And there are those that suggest that based on our Gemara, so what would be the halacha here? The Mishnah says, our Gemara just said we should be all together. The Guda Achas. What does it mean that it should be all together by Guda Achas? So explains the Shem Shmuel. When you look at different types of Jews, every type of Jew has his own strengths and weaknesses. What the Gemara means to say here is that Achi Kulam Aguda Achas, all of us should get together, and by all of us, they get together that we can learn from each other. And I saw similarly that everybody, the Esrig has its things and the Lulav has its things, Every type has its own strengths and weaknesses. And what the Torah wants from us is to learn from each other's strengths and weaknesses. And when we combine our strengths and weaknesses, that's really when Klal Yisrael is going to perform best. Furthermore, I saw that the Chishuk Chemed explains what does it mean when it says here that we're all connected to each other. So he explains that the lesson over here that the Gemara means to teach us is that when we're all combined, what does it mean to be all combined? We have to each think about the other person. And he explains that what the Gemara means to say here is that when we have different people combined together and we realize that each one of us has strengths that the other one has and has areas that we're stronger and areas that we're weaker, what that means is that when we interact with each other, we have to recognize that. And if as we interact with each other, we recognize the strengths and weaknesses that we all have, then that could bring us out, that could bring out the best, that could be bring out the best in all of us. And that's why I saw that the Imre Emes explains that when we speak about the Dalminim, we speak about the fact that it's Hodor. What is the beauty of the Dalminim? So he explains, the beauty of the Dalminim is that we each complement each other. And when you have people complementing each other, that is beauty. There's another important discussion based on our Gemara. There's a famous type of a lulav, which is known as the Dekla Canary and the Lulav HaKanari, and there's always a question if that's a kosher lulav. And many Paiskim are of the opinion that the Dekla Canary is not a kosher lulav, because our Gemara just said that what is one of the characteristics of a lulav. The Gemara says one of the characteristics of a lulav is that the lulav makes peiros, gives fruit. And the Dekla Canary doesn't give fruit. However, I did see that there are Paiskim that are lenient with the Dekla Canary, even though our Gemara says it gives fruit. What's the reason? Because it doesn't have to be that the specific lulav that I am using has to give fruit. What it means is that it has to be it has to be the type of thing that gives fruit, even though your particular lulav that grows in whatever location is not giving fruit. We learned in the Mishnah, Sheva Hazar Shebapara, the seven Hazars that are done by the Parah Aduma, Makazu Zu. Why? Because the Torah uses the word Zayischuk Satara by the Parah Aduma, so everything there is absolutely essential. Sheva Hazar Shalbeir Abadim Shalmizbech Hazav Shalaproches Makazu Zu. Says the Gemara, when we speak about the Azos that are done on Yom Kippur, because the Pasuk says, Ksiv Chuka. Par Koyim Mashiach, Par Helm Dover, Shatsiba, Vesiria, Vedis Kechavim. They're all essential, all the Zrikas, Kretanya. The Pasuk says, Vosla Park, Shosla Par Chatas, Kenya Saloi. The Par Helm Dover, Shatsiba, can be treated like the Par Koyim Mashiach. And the question is, Torah already taught us all the details of the Parahelm Dovah Shatzibur. Why was it necessary for this pasuk to tell us do them both the same way? Matam Loimer, to teach us Lichvul Ba'azoyis, that to teach us Shemchisa Achz Mekon Matonis. If you're missing any of the Matonis that you're supposed to do, the loch is Loyosu Klum, it's meaningless. Tanah Abonim, continues the Braisa, Sheva Azoyis Shemaporo. The seven hazos that were done by the Parah Aduma, Shoson that were done Bein Lishmon, Bein Shaloi Mechavonos. If you did them Shaloi Lishma, or you didn't do them facing, with the intention to face the opening of the Ohel Moed, in both cases, Psulus, because the Torah says the word Chatas He, and we learn from here that you have to do it directly, the way, specifically the way the Torah says. The Paiskim explain, the Mefarshim explain, that Pesach Ohel Moed also includes that it has to be, the door has to be open. Shebefnim, the hazars that are done in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur, Shem Mitzayra, or the Mitzayra, as he stood on the Shah Nikner, and the Kayan would spritz oil facing Kayish Kadashim, the halacha is Shalai Lishman Psulis. They're all not possible. Because since we're talking about a Karmel Chattis, that the halacha is that they have to be possible. There has to be Lishman. If they're not done facing the proper order, shares. Since there's no posik that stresses that it has to be done that way. Ask the Gemara, how could you learn pshat that way? Vatanya, does the Bryson not teach us by the Paro? Shloi Lishman Psulis, Shloi Mechavonis, Ksheris. Answers the Gemara, Amarav. So we have a stira. What's going to be the Alochim? Amarav, Chizal Akasha. Ha, the Bryson says that if they were done, She Enem Mechavonis, if they weren't done facing the opening of the Be'ayamayid, the apostle reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Braisa that says that kosher reflects the opinion of the Rabbon. And the Gemara goes into that machloikis. The Tanya, Mechusri Kippura, Mechusri Kippura reflect people, speak about people who became Tomei, went to the mikvah, had hair of Shemesh, but they didn't bring the Kabbonis that the Torah requires them to bring. We're talking about Azav, you led us Mitzara. The halach is, if they enter the Azara, b'shog yichayv chattis, b'meizit aynish karis, v'ein tzarch loimer, and that, certainly the halach is tful yoim, that if somebody went to the mikvah, but he didn't have hair of Shemesh, this halach will apply. V'shag kol ha-temeim, that anybody who's chayv for going into the Azara, is chayv b'shog yichayv, and b'meiza they have to bring the chayv karas. A person who's tar but entered past the 11 amis that the regular Yisrael is allowed to stand in the Azara, if they went to the Heichel, which is the Kodesh, where you have the menorah and the shulchan, kuloi, even if they entered the entire Heichel till the proiches, baboim, they get malchus. If they went mibeis leproiches, they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the halacha is el pnei kapiris, and they stood till the Orin, the chiv is misa. Yudaimer, kol hahechel, the entire hechel, u bimbeis leproiches, and even the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's aboim, but pnei kapiris, but if you go to the spot where the Orin is, then there's a chiv misa. Ask the Gemara by Maika Mefki, what is the basis? Ask the Gemara of their Machloikis. Says the Gemara, their argument is Baha'i Kro. They're arguing over the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'yom HaShem HaMoshem, Dabal Aaron HaChicha, V'yom HaBecholeis HaKodesh M'bayis L'proichas HaPnei HaKapyrus HaShal Aaron V'loi Yomus. The Pasuk starts with a laugh, V'al Yovai, and the Pasuk concludes with a Chiyiv Misa, V'loi Yomus. And the Torah speaks about three distinct places. Kodesh, Mibayis L'Proiches, Apnei Kapyrus. So we learn from here as follows. Everybody agrees that if you enter the Kodesh, there's only an Esalav. Everybody agrees that if you go to the area where there's the Orin, there's a Chiyiv Misa. The Machloikis is, what about the area between the beginning of the Kodesh Kedoshim until the Aron? Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan's opinion is, ala Kodesh B'lo Yavai, in the Heichel there's a Chiyiv Malkus, Bebayis Leproiches, inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, and certainly the area of a Pnei Kapyrus, those areas carry a Chiyiv Misa. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, ala Kodesh, Umibayis Leproiches, the Heichel and the Kodesh Kedoshim till the Aron, B'layavai carry a lav, V'al Pnei Kapyrus carries a layomus chiv meisa. Says the Gemara, Mai Tamai de Rabbanan, ask the Gemara, what is the basis for the opinion of the Rabbanan. Says the Ma'is al-Gadata could come Rav Yehuda. If Rav Yehuda's opinion is correct, suggests the Gemara, Licht of Rachmana, it would be adequate for the Torah just to say, Ela Kodesh v'la Pnei HaKapiris, v'la Bay Mibayis L'Proiches. It wouldn't be necessary for the Torah to single out the area of Mibayis L'Proiches. V'na, Mina, will understand. Heichel Mechayiv, if Yechayiv Malkus for going to the Heichel, Mibayis L'Proiches, so certainly an area that's deeper, Yechayiv. Mabayis L'Proiches, the Kos Rachmana Lomeli, why did the Torah have to start mentioning the area of Mabayis L'Proiches? To tell Shmamino that if somebody goes to that area, Rachman Slan, he's Chayiv Misa. Rabbi Yehuda, that is Rabbi Yehuda explains Rabbi Yehuda, Ikos Rachmana, El Kodesh Vel Kos Mabayis L'Proiches, have a mina my Kodesh. Why would I explain Kodesh means? Bebayis L'Preches. It only means the area in the Kodesh HaKadoshim near the Orin. Aval Hechel, but the Kodesh Lav Namiloi. There's no Lav either, even for that area. Rabbanan, and Rabbanan say, Hulei Matzit Amrit. We can't make such a mistake that the Hechel is not considered Kodesh. The Hechel Kula Ikri Kodesh. We know that the Hechel is certainly called Kodesh. Shnem, as the Pasuk says, Bevdil HaPreiches Ben HaKodesh Ben Kodesh Kodoshim. So we see that the area of the Hechel is called Kodesh. Rabbi Yehuda Maitama. What does Rabbi Yehuda ask the Gemara? Explain like the Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yehuda, Is Sakadata Kedekamri Rabbanan? If the Rabbanan are correct, Lichter Rachmana, it would be enough to say Ala Kodesh, Umbayis LaPreiches. Vleiboyi Vapnei Kapyrus. It wouldn't be necessary for the Torah to say Pnei Kapyrus, because Vanam, you know, we could conclude. If Mibayis L'Proiches, if as soon as you enter the Kodesh Kedoshim, there's a Chiv Misa, a Pnei Kapyrus, if you enter the area of the Orin, certainly there's a Chiv Misa. Why did the Torah have to single out the area of Pnei Kapyrus? To teach us, Shmamino, a Pnei Kapyrus, only the area of the Orin is the Chiyim Misa, the Bais L'Proiches, but till that area is Bazara, there's a Lav, not Misa. Rabbanan, and Rabbanan, what do they respond to Rabbi Yehuda? Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, Hachnami, there's no need for the Torah to say Pnei Kapyrus. If the first spot, if the earlier area of the Kodesh Kedoshim carries a Chayav Misa, certainly the area of the Oren carries a Chayav Misa. If I had the Kodesh Rachmana of Pnei Kapyrus, to teach us another halacha, that if somebody did not walk in straight from the east side to the west side, for example, he made a hole in the wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's how we entered, that the halacha is that you're not chayiv misa. To the Tana Debay, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the pasuk says, "V'lok b'dam apav v'izah b'etzba apnei kabaris kedma, zeb b'nei av." From here we learn, the kol makum shenam apnei, el apnei kodem. You're only chayiv if you walk in a straight fashion. So we learned that the pshat is that you made a hole in the wall, and that's not considered entering properly. But I saw another pshat, is that when the person was entering, he didn't go with a straight line. Tysus suggests that, for example, if somebody entered through the roof, or if somebody was walking backwards, all of that is considered derech meshupish. Rabbi Yehuda, what's he going to say to this explanation? Says the Gemara, if that's what the pasuk wants to teach us, mlema kro pnei. It would be adequate for the Torah just say the word pnei. My el shmamino el dafka, that only in the area of the Oren is the chiv misa. Rabbanan say that if the Torah would have just said al lav dafka, you can't learn from the word Allah al alone that this limud. Rabbi Yehuda dama al pnei kaparis dafka. Rabbi Yehuda that says that only in the area of the Pnei Kapyrus of the Oren is the Chiyim Misa. The Pasuk says, when the Torah speaks about the Parah Aduma, the Torah says, V'hiza anach Pnei Almoid Nami, does the Torah mean that if it didn't do it straight, Dafka? Rabbanan So ask the Gemara, midahosum lav dafka, just like over there, it doesn't have to be straight. If you, hakanami, here too, when I speak about the Azara Parah Aduma, lav dafka. The halacha, that's why when now we go back to the beginning. Rabbi Yehuda, who said a Pnei Kapiris is coming to single out that area, is going to say here too that it's coming to single out that it has to be a Pnei a Pesach Oil Moed. Anything else is possible. And that's why they, Rabbi Yehuda will hold Shloim Chavonus is possible. The Rabbanan will hold that just like kids love Dafka, there too it's love Dafka. Masler of Yosef. So ask of Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Mida al Dafka, was saying that al Pnei Kapiris is Dafka. So we're saying Nami. So when the Torah says al Pnei Kapiris by Yom Kippurim Dafka, that it has to be done specifically that way. So ask the Gemara, al Migdash Sheni, do I have an Aron Kapiris where there were no Aron Kapiris available? Are you going to say Hakin Nami do I have an Azos that didn't do Azos? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bar Ul Amakra, the Chiper. As Migdash HaKadosh, to tell us that just doing it on Mokam HaMakadosh, it's the place where the Aron is supposed to be, is enough. Rav Amma, says the Gemara, Hava Rabbanan. Both prices, the word Pnoich Pesach El Moed is not Dafka. You don't have to do a Pesach El Moed, as long as you intended that direction. Says the Gemara, so how do we reconcile the two prices? Ha, the Kaimazuch Umar of Adi, if the coin is facing between Mizrach and Marav, and he's spritzing towards the Marav, then the halach is kosher. Ha, but if he's not standing in that direction, koit sofim v'dor v'adi, it's not kosher. Amamar, we learned earlier, v'shebefnim shemetzayra, shalai b'shman p'sula, if you did it shalai l'shman, it's possible, shalai m'chavan is k'sheres. V'tanya, but ask the Gemara, we learned another braisa, the Ben Shloim Lishmon and Ben Shloim Mechavonis Ksheris answered the Gemara Am Rabbi Yosef Loi Kasha Har Rabbi Lezer, the Brisa that says that Shloim Lishmon is following is possible follows the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. For Har, the one that says it's Kasha is Rabbanan. The Rabbi Lezer Makish Oshem Lachatos. Rabbi Lezer always, as we learned at the beginning of Sechta Zvachim, says that just like a Chatos that Shloim Lishmon is possible, So too is the Oshim. And therefore, Mark Shnami the Loig, Loshim. He compares the Loig that the Mitzvah brings to the Oshim. And just like the Oshim Shloi Lishma is possible, this too Shloi Lishma will be possible. Rabbanan Loi Makshi. Ask the Gemara, but even according to Rabbi Lezer, how would this be acceptable? Why is this not a violation of a rule that we learned from Sekta Zvachim? We can't have a double hekish. And here we're learning the Osher from the Chatas and then the Loik from the Osher. So we go back to reconcile these two brises. Alama Rava Havaha Rabbanan. Kan, the brise that says that Shloi Lishmok Sheris is to say Lahakshur, that the rest of the Loik of Shemin that's left over may be eaten by the Kahanim. The Kan, the one that says it's possible that the Aloch is that the if it was done in such a fashion, if it was done shloi lishman and shloi mechuvanos, the mitzayra can't still eat kachim and certainly not be able to enter the base of Migdash under those circumstances.